What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
And it's time right now for the Manager's Report. We are joined by Padres skipper Mike Shildt, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better. And off days at home in baseball are very rare. With no travel, yeah. I mean, throughout the course of the season, you may get two or three of them. This late in the season, Mike, I'd imagine that's a valuable day yesterday. How you doing, and how did you spend an off day at home?
It was nice. I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing well also.
Yeah.
It was a relaxing day. Caught up on a few personal things that can slip by as the season goes, and enjoyed the beautiful San Diego weather, and went to Michael King and his wife Sheila's event last night for type 1 diabetes they're raising money for, and that was a really well done event for a great cause, and did a lineup and got ready for today's game.
Now, before we get into it, Woodsy doesn't really want to ask you, but he's got to bring it up because you've been dealing with the rule changes.
Kind of hard to believe you don't want to ask.
I know, but he doesn't. This is actually something he doesn't want to ask.
All right.
You've dealt with like rule changes and the three batter minimum and everything in baseball. So he's coaching his little league team, and they have laid on this list of rules that he cannot even believe, and he needs just some help here. He needs some help managing his little league team, his Pinto League team.
They laid these rules on me, Shilty, about guys having to play a certain amount in the infield, in the outfield, and spend time on the bench. I just wanted to, I'll take the Pod Sunday. You take the Durham Bulls in LCYO League. I don't know that anybody could figure these rules out. I realize, and I know you spent time, coaching youths at the start of your career. What is your advice for burgeoning coaches in the game of baseball, 6 and 7 year olds?
I think the most important thing at that age is they enjoy it. I think it's really kind of no different than our guys. You want them to make sure when they come to practice, they come to the ballpark, they're excited about it. So I think that starts there. If they're not looking forward to it and they're not going to enjoy themselves, then it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge to whatever you're trying to accomplish. But get them to enjoy it. No labels. It really bothers them. It happens younger and younger at the youth levels where young players are being graded and evaluated and even cut. And we know it's competition, but as an A player, B player, C player, it's interesting. When I ran an academy, we did some travel teams, 100 years ago, and we had a really good group. We started with a group of 15-year-olds because I thought that was time where players should start to maybe, if they were serious about it still at 15 and they were wanting to go play collegially, I'd do my best to help them. So we put together this really, really good group of players that ended up doing some pretty cool things as a sidebar. But anyway, I got a guy named Brian Keegan, who at the time was an area scout and a pro scout with Tampa. And at the time, he was with Houston. And I said, hey, Keegs, would you evaluate this group and give me a little bit of a write-up on the guys, So we did a workout, and he came up to me and says, I got nothing for you. I said, you're a great evaluator. What do you mean? He said, well, yeah, I think I'm a pretty decent evaluator. And the guy really is a great judge of talent. He's rightfully in the profession. So he said, man, for me, it's too hard for me to judge what a 15-year-old player is going to be. And it just resonated with me clearly, because here's a guy that's really good at evaluating talent. And at 15, he had a hard time identifying players. They grow, they mature differently. And at that point, we didn't label anybody. We let kids play. And I think it's a real mistake for kids to be, I'm only this, I'm only that, I can't play this. Let them play everywhere. Let them enjoy it. Let them have good experiences. Teach off what they can do, and then they can learn to think and play for themselves, and they'll enjoy it more.
It's a great answer. Great answer. So so Keegs will not come out and evaluate the Pinto Durham Bulls on Sunday.
He would not.
All right, he would not. Then I guess I shouldn't either.
All right, let's start with something.
Just let him have fun, man. All right. You know, let him run around.
I want to start with something kind of fun because I was down there on Monday, and all of a sudden I look and go, that's Albert Pujols.
Yeah, crazy.
And he was there with his daughter to see Manny play, which was cool. But I saw you spending some time with him on the field, you know, all that time together in the Cardinals organization. And I wanted to ask you, obviously, there were a lot of things that turned Albert Pujols into a Hall of Famer, you know, mashing the ball, picking it over there at first base. But what did you see in Albert, and then what do you see maybe in some of your own players that makes a guy successful in the big leagues to that level, to that Hall of Fame level?
Hunger, competitive spirit, drive. I mean, you know, talent clearly is there. But, you know, if you want to put together – seasons, you want to contribute to winning teams, put together seasons, put together a career where you stack up numbers and get the most out of your physical ability, you give nothing away. And Albert was I talked to him, got to know him, consider him to be a really good friend. He's a great guy, wonderful human being, does a lot of great things for community and charity. But I also learned by watching him. And I remember after he won his second MVP, I was just, you know, I'm always curious. I just want to study people because, you know, people's actions are going to speak louder than their words. And I was like, all right, he won his second MVP. He's coming to spring training. How's he going to go about it? And I remember being in the first spring training game and I'd gotten to a point in the big league camp where I'd gotten, you know, a little more comfortable to be around. And, you know, it was a rite of passage kind of to get into it. But anyway, I'm sitting right beside Albert. And spring training games are starting. This is like 2008 or 9, whatever year it was. And I'm just going to feel for like, okay, what's this cat going to be like, you know? And he always had his towel. Of course, it was, you know, even humid at that time of year in March. Late March in Jupiter. And he's just scowling and stalking the pitcher. And, you know, like I say, first spring training game, people are enjoying it, you know, having a good time. Not to say guys aren't paying attention, but it's just, you know, it's loose. And this guy was absolutely just stalking this dude. And he gave nothing away. And I watched him and you know, if you wanted to find Albert at, you know, at spring training, 7 o'clock, he was going to be with Dave McKay in the cage doing his routine every single day.
Wow.
And you walked in and you wanted to watch it. It was great, but he wasn't going to be talking. He wasn't going to be hanging out. He wasn't going to be BSing. He was going to be working. And he just never gave anything away. And we have a lot of players that are very similar to that. You know, they love competition and they love, you know, paying attention to the game and seeing the game and getting after it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a great answer, great player. I had no idea he was going to be there, and he walked out, and I was like, that's the machine, and he's right there in front of me. You're going to love this one, Shilty, because I got chewed out yesterday on the Padres roundtable by Tony Gwynn Jr. Because I tweeted about Jerickson Profar. I love Profar so much, but I the bunt in the third inning, and he chewed me out yesterday on the roundtable. I'm ready for you to chew me out here, but my question to you is, knowing we all know this about Pro, we know he plays his game, we know you let him play his game. If there's a situation where Pro comes up in that situation again, maybe different circumstances, you as the skipper, would you ever let him know through Tim Leeper or somebody else, don't bunt? We don't want you bunting here. We want you to swing away, Pro, because we like what you can do. Or is he just kind of free to roam, I guess?
So Tony Gwynn didn't satisfy your answer.
I guess I'm a glutton for punishment, Skip, I guess.
I don't know, man. It's a fair question. I'm just curious. No, I understand the question, but I'm going to go back to what I was saying about, and clearly different levels of
sure.
That, but my encouragement to the youth level. Your job ultimately is to help players understand the game, and to teach them the game. You know, regardless of level you're going to be at, 6-7 year olds clearly a different, teaching level, but. As you get to higher levels of baseball, one of the biggest things you can do, because what ends up happening when you let them play the game and you teach through the game, is you develop players that are confident and trust themselves.
Yeah.
And they know that you trust them. The other thing that nothing's absolute in this game. And that's where I think we can get in trouble. Not to say this is always the right way, what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you the way I see the world.
Sure.
And it's worked for me. And when I say nothing, everything can look the same. But the beautiful thing about the game is the depth of layers that go into the divisions. And so when people look at something in every situation in an absolute way, like he can't bunt there. He shouldn't be bunting there.
Yeah.
He should be doing X or Y. Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair question. I can understand why he'd ask the question. But if you look up and recognize, like, I don't live in Profar's body.
Sure.
But Drax, you know, Pro, as you most people know, played in two Little League World Series championships, right? Won one, lost one. Okay. So when he was 11 and 12, he's been playing high level, competitive, meaningful, top of the level that he's at baseball games. And he's been doing that since he was 11 and 12 years old. So he's been doing that for 20 years, right? There's some intuition about the game that takes place after that period of time, right? I don't see this guy very well. I'm not feeling as good.
Yeah.
I've got some intuition about Valdez being a guy that's really tough. He's on the ground a lot. He's tough to score on. We want to get an early lead. We got a good bullpen. So all these factors, and then, like I said, how he sees him, how he feels, how he knows the guy behind him swinging the bat. So all these are pretty big variables. By the way, the guy behind him is Manny that day. Those are the things that when you know you have intuitive players that know the game, see the game, and I say this a lot, championship players think and do for themselves, then that trust factor allows them to be free and play and not get on and later and be like, well, I don't see that guy. I'm not saying that was the case with Profar. But,
yeah.
And then there is discussions. There's always discussions, you know, going into games, you know, and players have a game plan. And, you know, that's the thing that's beautiful about it is it's situational and there is communication about what and why. So, longer answer to your question, but
It's a great answer.
Yeah, and I think it makes a lot of sense because, Woods, you've been doing radio for a while now, and you've probably had someone who says, hey, the numbers tell you you should be teasing this in this segment. You go, I know, though. I know my audience. I know better. Yeah. And you do it your way, and someone will criticize you. 100%. That's not how you should do it, Woods, but you do it your way because you know, because you have the experience. And I think that's what Mike is saying.
That's the thing that is also... can be challenging, right? As you do something that, you know, Tony would say, you know, manage with your gut, don't cover your butt. You know what, based on your experience, or a player knows, and you trust the player to go perform.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't always work out. But the second you do something that's against some kind of perceived norm or absolute, or is, you open yourself up. And that's, you know, that's the gig, man. But, you know, the multiple layers of understanding the why is really where I live, at least.
It's such a great lead-in, I guess, Shilty, to the next question I had is that, you know, a team, you'll see it, and I don't want to name any teams, but we've all seen it. Like, a team will play a certain way in the regular season, and then the playoffs come, and obviously, I've got no idea. We have no idea what it's like to play or manage in a game of that much magnitude and pressure. How, I guess tempting is not the right word, but I guess maybe how tempting is it to tighten up a little bit while, you know, you got to stay loose as the skipper, they got to stay loose as players, but obviously the pressure's on. How hard is it to continue to play a little free and easy when, you know, the clock strikes October?
It's a fair question, and it's not, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It's not, you know, it's not a challenge, but what I look for every day, whether it's the first game in Seoul, Korea, or a game in April or May or whenever, that I prepare every day like it's a playoff game. Like, my preparation will not change today or 2 weeks from now or the end of October. The game's a game. I owe the opportunity every day to be fully prepared and to stay present and to compete in the moment and to take it all with the, you know, every situation, be on task and on point. And that way, when you get to, you know, big moments or big games or whatever the case may be, you've just normalized, you know, the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, playing the game and doing what the game calls for, as Toddy talks about. When you do that, you just get lost in the competition. Then that's all you can do. You know, I mean, it's people like, oh, you want to bring more, you want to do more, you got to do more. Because, no, man, you just, you do it all year. You do it every day. You do it in every circumstance. And you just, like I said, you normalize excellence to be prepared and regardless of a situation. I mean, I owe that to the club and owe it to the, you know, people that show up and support us, and owe it to the organization to be on point at every turn. And, you know, that's regardless of circumstance.
That being said, and this is the last thing for me, knowing that you're preparing for tonight, you know, playoff game one at a time, you're just trying to win as many as possible. At this time of year, I'd imagine you have to have some forethought, you know, with what is coming up. Playoffs, setting up, making sure guys are set up and ready for a big series. What are those conversations like in terms of strategic planning as you now get close to October?
We haven't accomplished anything yet, you know, so, you know, we just keep moving down the run, you know, keep playing, keep going about it. There will be a time soon that, you know, we're looking forward to that, you know, now you start to have a more clarity of what the picture looks like, but right now it's play today, get after today, and shake hands at the end of the day.
Not yet. All right. That's fair enough. All right. Good luck this weekend. I know I don't have to worry that you're taking, we don't even have to ask you. We know you're taking the White Sox as seriously as you'd be taking the Dodgers or any other team. So good luck this weekend against the White Sox. It's been an incredible season, especially at home. I know the fans want to just kind of say a thank you this weekend. It'll be big crowds and everything. So what a fun year this has been. And we'll talk to you next week when you guys are getting ready for that last series in Arizona.
Sounds great. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks. There he is. The skipper, Mike Shildt, our manager's report, brought to you each Friday morning by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.